Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. Today in the studio, we have comedian Eric Cole sitting in.
What?
Hi.
Say hello. Now, we just met Eric today
from
a social media post. So yeah, it's cool. We're just getting to know him too. So first of all, are you local or do you travel around?
I am a local. I've done a little traveling, not as much as I'd like, but I'm working on it.
Yeah. Okay. And how'd you get started in comedy?
I moved to Idaho from New York in 2008.
Okay.
Dang, that's a big change, I would think.
And then probably towards the end of 2009, early 2010, I believe, I joined a local improv group by the name of Insert Foot Theater. Because I'd always wanted to do comedy, but I wasn't sure.
And you didn't do it in New York?
No.
Wow.
No. I hosted a couple of shows when I was in my very early 20s, and but it didn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had to put it on the back burner just for, you know, financial reasons. But then I moved here, and I ran into one of the guys who ran the group at the time and asked him how I would get involved, and he just invited me to come to a rehearsal, and I hung out, and a couple months later I was in the shows.
And, oh, cool.
And then I had a couple years after that, probably around 2012, I think March 2012, I had a Wednesday night off, and a rare Wednesday night off, I went over to Liquid for the open mic and tried that. And
how'd it go?
It went well, you know. I mean, I didn't tear the house down, but it wasn't terrible.
You wouldn't consider it a bomb or
anything? No. And so I thought, okay, well, I mean, I've shown myself that I could be funny without any preparation, you know, just kind of off the top of my head. And so I was like, I could probably do this. And yeah, almost 8 years later.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Here we are.
So you did your first open mic with no prepared material?
No. I had some prepared jokes. I think one of the first jokes I wrote was, so I was at the grocery store and I noticed that they have triple stuffed Oreos now. Why is this necessary? We don't need that many layers of cream. And I feel like eventually what's going to happen is America is just going to break off from Canada and Mexico and sink right into the ocean.
From our Oreo consumption.
Yeah. It's from everybody getting so fat.
Yes.
But yeah, and you know, that went well. So I kept going back, and yeah, here I am now, a few years later, and I've worked with Jay Moore, Tom Green,
dang,
Chris Kattan, just recently came to town.
Chris Kattan was just here.
Yeah. We missed the Tom Green show. We had tickets, and he ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We
missed some awesome stuff.
I almost died over the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is what happened. My colon burst. Yeah, we missed. We had tickets to Tom Green. Mm-hmm. We missed that show. We had tickets to Theo Vaughn. We missed that show.
Impractical Jokers.
Practical Jokers in Tacoma. Yeah. We missed that show too.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
So we just bought tickets to Mark Normand in August in Salt Lake City. And we're fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Keep yourself in shape, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so did you say how long ago, when you started, how old you were?
I was, let's see, so it was about 8 years ago. So 28, I think,
dang,
when I started doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
A little younger when I started doing improv.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my late 20s.
That's awesome.
I finally got started for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've noticed, like, now with Wendy and I doing this podcast and having our social media and our website, you kind of think of everything as, like, content to put out. Do you kind of look at everything as, like, is this a potential joke?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting the way being a comedian kind of shapes.
You look at the world differently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It kind of shapes your interactions with people and the ways that you, you know, kind of, like, look at things generally. It's like I'm an observer of things, and so hopefully I can, you know, I can turn that into funny stuff.
Yeah,
definitely.
Weird stuff goes on all the time.
Yeah. Now on that, now most comedians that we've listened to have had some sort of trauma or tragedy in their lives.
Abuse.
Is that the case, your case too?
Well, you neglect. Know, I am the product of a broken home.
Okay.
My father left when I was very young.
Okay.
And then didn't resurface until I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, going through his own problems, and looking back on it, it was for the best that he wasn't around.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to witness any of the, you know, stuff that was going on. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, my, you know, it's not a woe is me tale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it probably shaped some of,
I would think so.
Who you are.
Ability and humor and whatever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So your dad's in the picture now?
Yes. Yeah. Now that I'm older and we have a much better relationship.
Oh, that's good.
He actually came to visit a couple of years ago. So that was nice. He got to meet his grandson and his grandsons, rather, my sister's son as well. Yeah, so, it, you know, it's nice to have that relationship with him now.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I looked you up on Facebook before you came and saw there was a kid on there in a video somewhere. So that's your son?
Yep.
One of my
pride and joy. The only one I have.
Oh, only one?
The only one I will have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't plan on having any more.
Yeah, I stopped after two. That was plenty.
No, one is enough for me because I don't need two different women telling me what I'm doing wrong for the rest of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
I got the hype button for that one. Yeah. Nice.
Does anyone ever try to talk you out of doing stand-up comedy?
No, but I think, you know, while my family is supportive of me, they're also, very much the, you know, make sure you have a backup plan because what if it doesn't work out? Mm-hmm. And, I've never really subscribed to that.
Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm either going to do it or I'm not.
Yeah.
And if I fail, then I fail, but I'm going to, you know, give it my best shot because, you know, why not?
Yeah.
It's the only thing I've ever really been good at is making people laugh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then do you work a regular job too?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately.
She's laying right on the cord to your headphones.
That's okay. I didn't even notice.
Around your foot.
Oh, gosh. It's going to be
the whole table might go when she gets up.
Yeah.
That's okay. For those listening, that's a dog
they're
talking about.
Yeah.
There's not just some random person laying under a table.
That'd make this even weirder.
Yeah. And then I think when I was a kid, so after my father left, my mother, sister, and I moved in with my grandparents. And it was my grandparents, my uncle, my mother, my sister, and myself in an apartment in Brooklyn. And
how many bedrooms?
There were 3 bedrooms. My grandparents had one, my uncle had one, my sister and I shared one, and my mother slept on a pull-out sofa in the living room.
Wow.
And we were an Italian family, so everybody being on top of each other all the time kind of itself to, you know, some loudness and yelling. I mean, not to say that it was, you know, a terrible... we were very... My sister and I knew that we were loved and, you know, all of that stuff, but I think that probably shaped some of where my humor came from, kind of as like a defense mechanism to try and like diffuse situate. Didn't always work.
Conflicts in the home. How was so how'd you end up in Idaho?
Well, I was 24 years old, living in Queens, working at the Hard Rock Cafe, and I just didn't have any I didn't have any focus. I didn't know what I was doing with myself. And my grandparents had relocated to Idaho a couple of years prior. So I thought, you know, let me go out there and get a clean start. And this way, you know, I don't get a phone call and have to hop on a plane because, you know, grandma died.
Yeah.
So I was thankful to have those, you know, that time with them before. Mm-hmm. They're both now passed.
Oh, but, geez, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. It's okay. Yeah, so I'm thankful that I got to have that time with them before.
That's pretty special.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that transition like going from New York to Idaho?
Easy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think
yeah.
it'd be hard.
No. I hate large crowds of people.
Oh, you're like, in well, wrong there you go. Place.
Yeah.
I can get up on stage in front mm-hmm. of a room full of people, you know, 200 people deep and you know, whatever, and it's not a problem, but like to have to walk amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about...
Is it terrifying or anxiety?
It's not terrifying. It's, I mean, when you're... Because when you grow up there mm-hmm. and you're used to it, it's not terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I think the... Everybody in New York, at least my experience was that everybody's busy. Everybody's in a rush. Yeah. Everything's crowded. So everybody's kind of miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of... It sort of casts a blanket over yourself, and then mm-hmm. you're miserable without even knowing it.
Oh, wow.
Like everybody just has their head down and they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm walking
not much
here.
Interaction. You
know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw that when we were in New York City. There was a guy actually crossing the street, and a car was honking at him. He's like, I'm in the fucking crosswalk.
Yeah.
He totally had the right of way, like pedestrian, and getting honked at. And the guy just like went off on the car, like right in the middle of the street.
Yeah. You know, and I want to clear up a misconception about New Yorkers. You know, people think that we're rude or whatever, but it's not. We have somewhere to be.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go, and we don't have time to. You know, while you're standing in the middle of Times
Square. And as we're lollygagging, like taking a picture.
Taking pictures of the, you know, the sign in Times Square. We're like, come on.
I got to go to work.
Let's go. We got things to do.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how it kind of seemed to me in like New York City that like where you lived, like your block or whatever, that's kind
that's
of
you find your
stuff. Whole world, you know, kind of everything. Is that how it was?
Yeah. There's store. You know, different neighborhoods and, you know, you have your... Italian neighborhoods and your Jewish neighborhoods and the black neighborhoods and, you know, things like that. And, you know, it's just the, you know, I guess from in the beginning when things formed and, you know, people.
And the cost of living?
Oh, astronomical.
Yes. Yeah.
It's insane. Like, people ask me, you know, they go, when are you gonna come home? When are you gonna come back? And I go, when Lorne Michaels is signing my paychecks.
That's, yeah, right.
Yes,
that's when I'll move back to New York because then I'll be able to afford it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. Like everything is so expensive.
So is it a dream of yours to be on SNL?
Oh yeah, always.
Yeah.
And that's always been my goal. I don't know that I'll get there, but you know, maybe one day. We'll see.
What do you think of the Shane Gillis firing?
I think, you know...
Didn't he say that on his podcast? Did he say the slur?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he said it on his podcast. And I just think you have to be more careful in this day and age. You know, like, it's one thing for...
I didn't even hear it. Did it come off funny? Or, I mean, was he trying to...
No,
does it seem like he's trying to be funny?
I don't think so, personally. But, I mean, I could have misread the... I could have misjudged it myself. You know, I don't know him personally, so...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I just think that in this era of, you know, everybody's always watching you and, you know, like you were saying before with putting out content and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if you're, you know, a Dave Chappelle who's an established comedy star, who's had TV shows and movies and things like that. But, you know, for some unknown, you know, stand-up in New York, you know, you have to be a little more careful, especially in these times when everything is under a microscope.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just don't say it.
Cancel culture. Yeah.
Just don't say it. You know, it's not hard to not be an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Kind of, the more famous comics can get away with more, you know, saying a little bit racier
stuff. You know, they've got an established fan base and people who are going to go see them regardless. So they don't have to worry that... they're going to get, you know, quote unquote, canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or whatever.
They already have a career.
Exactly.
And if they get a little bad press, they'll still move on.
Dave Chappelle doesn't ever have to tell another joke and he's set for life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter for him. He can say what he wants and people are either going to like it or not.
Yeah.
But for, you know, the one guy, unknown, I had never even heard his name until they announced that he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to be more careful.
Yeah.
You want to be an asshole in your personal life? That's fine. But don't record it for everybody to hear.
Yeah.
Right.
When anybody at any time can find a tweet from 10 years ago.
Oh, I know.
And ruin you.
Yeah.
That's crazy these days. So do you do a lot of open mics?
Not as many as when I first got started. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, with a job and a child, it's hard to make it out to all the open mics. And, you know, at the risk of sounding like I'm full of myself or whatever, you know, at an open mic, you get, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, how many people are there and what the format is or whatever. And I feel like there are a lot of comics who need the time. Whereas I work enough that if I have an idea or something I want to work on, I can throw it out in a 10-minute set or a 20-minute set and kind of work it out that way.
Yeah.
So I don't need to take the time away from somebody who
needs
the time.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, sound like I'm bigger than an open mic, because if I get an idea that I absolutely have to share with somebody, I'll be there.
Right.
But,
you know, I'd rather prioritize, you know, spending time with my son and, you know, doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So when you're writing jokes, do you first, I mean, does it start off with kind of a funny situation and then you build off of that? Or do you take just a mundane situation and try to make a joke out of it?
Well, you know, it's hard to explain. And I hate saying this because I feel like it's pretentious. But, you know, like you've heard people like Michael Jackson and John Lennon and people like that say, you know, the songs come through them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is with me when I'm like thinking of jokes or whatever. Yeah. I don't know how to say it so I don't sound like a pretentious asshole, but I don't generally write things down.
Okay.
I just kind of get an idea and, you know, swirl it around in my head and see, you know, see how it goes. Or I'll put it on Facebook or like Twitter and
so
see the reaction
that it gets.
So you
don't write like word for word, like a script of what you're going to script?
No, because I feel like then I'd feel like I have to stick to that.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas, you know, I can just kind of roll with the punches or, you know, try something with a different inflection or whatever the case may be. But
so you kind of outline your jokes and just add in
kind of
where you want. Okay.
Yeah, like, cool. I mean, some jokes have come from, you know, in conversation with somebody and I'll go, oh, shit, that was pretty funny. Let me try that on stage. Or, like, I'll get a silly idea, like, if Kermit the Frog was a Muslim, his relationship with Miss Piggy would be a lot different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can't eat pork.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's those kinds of things that just pop into my head and I go, oh, shit, that's good. I'll see how far I can get with that.
Yeah, right. Jeez. let's see. Tell us about, first of all, your worst bomb that you've ever had in a show.
The worst bomb I've ever had.
Wasn't your first time.
No, it wasn't my first time. My second time was not great.
Mm.
But I think it was because I didn't believe in the material.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that wasn't the worst, though. Let's see. The worst I ever bombed. I was in Sacramento.
Okay.
At Laughs Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And we had driven all night to get there. And I think I had gotten like 45 minutes of sleep. And I didn't know that I was going to be performing that night. And it just didn't, like, the first joke I told went well, and then everything else was downhill from there.
Really?
I just remember thinking, oh, shit, I am not ready for this.
Yeah. And can you tell while you're performing, like, this isn't going well?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because you, there's no response.
Yeah, that's true.
People just sitting there silent. I'm just like,
how do you get through your set at that point? Yeah.
You just kind of have to, you know, now that I'm a little more, because that was early in my comedy career. That was maybe a year or so into it. Now I think I'm better at rolling with the punches and kind of, you know, in situations like that, maybe talk to the crowd, get them involved and, you know, do stuff like that. But at the time I was like, oh shit, they're never going to have me back again. And then there are some shows that just people just don't like, I don't understand why somebody ever goes to a comedy show if they don't want to laugh.
Yeah.
I know.
Or like, if they're going to get offended.
It's like they all met each other beforehand and were like, listen, no matter what the fuck they say.
Even if it's funny.
None of you crack a goddamn smile. I'm just like, how?
Why are you here?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one thing if it's just one comic having a bad set. But there
when it's everybody.
I've been on shows where everybody's done terrible.
Yeah.
And it's like, why'd you even leave the house?
Yeah.
Stay home and watch another episode of Real Housewives, you fucking mook. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, when we go to comedy shows, we're there to have fun. Like, ready to laugh. Like, even if you know, well, I don't think we've been to any where people, I mean, the comic didn't do well, you know, because I think we haven't hit up like the Boise scene
Not yet, really.
We've traveled a lot to shows and caught some of the people that have come here, like Rogan. Tom Segura, Ari Shaffir, we caught all them, Tony Hinchcliffe, but shoot, I forgot where I'm going with this thought.
Ari Shaffir just got himself in trouble.
That was on our list.
I have that.
Oof. How do you feel talk about to you that? About.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know his comedy. I'm just not.
He does do that.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing I've been hearing is that, like, well, that's what he does. You should know that that's what he does.
He's in that picture right there. The blurry picture. He's the guy in the middle.
That was from back in the audience.
But like, you know, somebody like Kobe Bryant.
I know, who so beloved,
meant so much to so many people.
Yeah.
Regardless of his past. And what happened, you know, when he was young and stupid. Not that I'm, you know, not that I'm saying that that, you know,
we're not condoning
just fucking
that.
Let him go. It doesn't matter. Yeah. No, because, you know, whatever. But like, don't the day of you say it happened 23 years too late. The Lakers. I'm so happy right now. Like, come on, dude. Have a little tact. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. I mean, that's. Again, I'm not. I don't know a lot enough of his comedy to say. Oh well, that's just what he does. But I personally thought it was in poor taste.
Yeah. It is just what he does, and I'm.
And it was in poor taste.
I'm a pretty big fan, and it was in poor taste.
You don't have to like Kobe Bryant. There's a woman who lost her son. A woman who lost her husband, her child.
Hold back.
Like, shut up, dude. Nobody needs to hear your fucking hot take on how much you hate Kobe Bryant.
Now, there are memes going around about, like, a Kobe steak burnt. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, maybe you could look it up. It's like a meme of a Kobe steak burnt.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I heard it on a podcast. But, I mean, it seems like it's more gauged to funny. Like, still maybe inappropriate and too soon.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one thing. But, like, to say this is a great day or, you know, whatever it is that he said.
And
like,
23
come on.
Years too
soon. Come on, dude. Like, he's a multiple-time NBA champion. He's got, you know, charities.
You're
going to
get steak if you just... Sorry.
Wait, what kind
of
steak?
Kobe steak meme.
Oh, like, that kind of steak?
Like, but I mean, it's... like a play on words.
Okay,
there are memes.
Okay. Kobe beef overrated type of wagyu.
It has to do with them being burnt.
Okay.
Because of the helicopter.
I'm going to add burnt to this search, but...
But even that is, I mean, it's, you know, whether or not you like Kobe Bryant, like, there are real people who were affected by this.
Yeah.
You know, there are children who don't have their father anymore.
Exactly.
You know, like, fucking...
And, his did not seem like a joke to me. That's what stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, comics will be like, oh, I was just joking.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, no, you weren't, dude. Yeah. No, you weren't.
Yeah.
We all know jokes. Yeah. It's what we do.
And I think he did say he was trying to like get more. I mean, when he noticed that when he posts stuff like that, he get more followers or people, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's all about, you know, like, shock and yeah. whatever. But
publicity
like,
is good publicity.
Yeah. Publicity. I don't know. I personally found it in poor taste, but mm-hmm. you know, that's just one man's opinion. He's obviously, you know, infinitely more successful than I've ever been, so maybe he's doing something right.
I don't know. He just got dropped by his agency.
Maybe not
that's
now.
That's the fucking chance you take.
I know.
You have to be careful.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. I was like, then what? He's a comic. Did he save money? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about your best like gig ever. Like you everything's were on fire. Clicking. Oh, yeah, man. You killed.
You just felt like a rock star.
You know, the, let's see, the Jay Moore, Tom Green.
Oh, yes. And, we need to hear about that.
Chris Kattan, I think, were all some of my best.
So did you open for them?
I did. With Jay Moore, I hosted, Tom Green only wanted one other comic on the show and I got that. Oh, cool. And then with Chris Kattan, I did guest spots all weekend. Mm-hmm. So that was fun, and I had some really good sets those nights. There was one show maybe a year or so ago, probably late 2018. It was a late Saturday show, and I had a couple of friends in the audience, and I destroyed. Like it
nice.
Was, yeah, it was a buddy of mine, Dustin Shalifo, was like, dude, you leveled up. Like that was... That was good. Like, well, nice. Thanks, man. You know, it's fun. So it depends on the atmosphere, though, too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, somebody going to see a Jay Moore or Tom Green or Chris Kattan, like they're ready to, because these are, oh, this is somebody I've seen on TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're ready to have a good time. So all you have to do is not suck.
Yeah.
and you can be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those were that, and that's a, you know, in a fun atmosphere with a, you know, 200 people in a room, like it's hard to do badly. So
did Tom Green have a good turnout?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And Tom Green was so nice.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was, yeah, it was a lot of fun working with him.
And is his set pretty funny? Cause I've actually never seen him do stand up, you know, I've seen him on TV. He was
pretty good. Yeah. Like, he didn't bank on the, you know, the I'm Tom Green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Thing. I mean, he mentioned
like Ken Jeong.
Yeah. Like he mentioned a couple of things. Like he did a thing about Freddy Got Fingered where he you know, he said that people have said it's the worst movie of all time. But go ahead and shout out a couple of quotes from the movie. And like everybody in the audience had something. And he went, all right, now, you know, for contrast, somebody quote a line from the Academy Award winning movie, The English Patient.
Yeah.
And nobody could. He's like, exactly. So maybe it wasn't that bad. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, he was great. I had a great time working with Tom Green. Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm bummed we missed that show. We had tickets and everything. Yeah. That sucks. So you said one of your goals is to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Anything else as far as your comedy career goes?
You know, I don't necessarily need to be a household name. I just want to be able to pay my bills and support my son.
Yeah.
Just telling jokes.
Comfortably.
I don't want a 9-to-5 job anymore.
Does traveling pay at all, or are you breaking even?
I think it depends.
Yeah.
So last year I went to Oregon to do some shows with Dave Mancarelli, and I made more than I spent.
Oh,
so that's a good thing. I mainly just spent money on gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like they paid for the hotel room, and they bought
you food.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was, you know, it was a good experience, and it wasn't that far.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't cost me $100, $200 in gas to get there. But
yeah.
I definitely made more money than I spent to get there. But I mean, I don't know that that's the case all over.
Yeah.
Because I haven't
done. But you're also like getting your name out. You got to go and yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're finding lately, getting our name out everywhere, linking everything together.
Yeah. We are linked.
Oh, it gets confusing at times.
It does.
Where you're like, is that Facebook, Instagram, our website, or is that, website, or is that YouTube? Yeah.
Where are
we? It gets confusing sometimes. Do you have any crazy stories of comedy gigs you've done? Anyone you love or don't like working with?
I don't know that I've not liked working with anybody. I mean, I can generally get along with whoever. I think there was one time I was just at the Steve Hofstetter show, like the first time he came to town. I was just there. I wasn't on the show. I wanted to see the show because I'm a fan of his. And this woman wouldn't leave after the first show was over.
Oh, really?
And I think she was having some kind of an episode.
Oh.
Or something. She just wouldn't get up. She kept saying she was waiting for her husband who wasn't around. And like we had to get police involved, like, to remove her from the building. That's probably the craziest thing I've seen. Doing comedy.
She probably ended up at my work then, maybe. I work at Intermountain Hospital.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You may have seen her.
I don't know what happened, but yeah. And then I was talking to Steve about it, and he was like, "Oh, I thought you were working." And I wasn't working at Liquid at the time. I do now. What was I? I might have been. The days and the years all kind of roll together. But you know, he's a nice guy, Steve Hofstetter.
Yeah.
People, you know, I've heard people complain about him and whatever, but I don't know. I had a pleasant interaction with him. I mean, not to discount anybody else's experiences, but.
Who's that roller derby guy? Chris used to play roller derby.
Roller derby guy?
Yeah. That comic? I was going to see if he knew him.
No, he did a roller derby joke because he was kind of hanging out.
He watched roller
derby. Oh, you're talking about my old teammate. Kaylin Nestin. I think he does some open
Kaylin,
mic.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Kaylin, yeah.
Yeah, I like
used to
Kaylin.
Play on my roller derby team when I played. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I like Kaylin. I don't see him as much as I'd want to, but yeah, he's definitely gotten funnier.
Yeah.
Since he from oh, yeah, nice. But we all do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
At least those of us who actually want to, you know, do this.
Yeah.
Progress. And he's come along quite nicely.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he works at Intermountain now, too, in the cafeteria. Yeah, that's how I've seen him recently. I think he's going to come on the podcast at some point.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. You know what we have next? Okay, so we do segments on this show. This next one, hold on, is uppercuts. So this is word association.
Okay.
And most of these words were picked specifically for you. A couple of them weren't. There's random words. So first thing that comes to your mind in uppercuts, word association. First one is animals.
Cool.
Food.
Delicious.
Comedy.
Favorite.
Boise.
Nice.
Backstreet Boys.
Ugh.
Hollywood.
A goal.
Awesome. Open mics.
Helpful.
Hecklers.
Terrible.
Female comedians.
Funny.
Nice.
Spice Girls.
Awesome.
Yes. And now you got to sing the Spice Girls song because we watched it in your set that you sent and you kind of busted it out a little bit.
Yeah,
so we want to hear it live right here on the podcast.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I save that for the, you know, for the shows.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So check out, where was that? Where can people see that? Because that was amazing.
YouTube. That's on your channel, right?
Yeah.
Eric Cole. I think Eric Cole Comedy.
Yeah,
I think
check
is
it
what
out
called
on
it.
YouTube.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I don't. I never understand like where the whole like women aren't funny thing came from, because women have been cracking my shit up my whole life. Like I honestly don't think there should be a distinction. Like we're all just comics.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be. Yeah. She's a female.
Yeah.
Like who cares? She's funny.
Yeah.
True.
There should be no differentiation between male comics and female
just
comics.
Just be comics.
Just all be comics.
Yeah. If you're funny. True. You're funny.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Rita Rudner, Ellen, Elaine Boozler, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah.
Like Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many that, you know, you can't rattle off all, but it's just, I mean, that whole thing has always been so stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the newer ones like Amy Schumer and Ali Wong and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, if you're funny, you're funny. Who gives a shit what you have in your pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That calls for my horn.
Oh, the clown
horn?
Who gives
a shit what you have in your pants? Yeah.
Who's your biggest comedy influences?
George Carlin.
Okay, yes.
Monty Python.
Monty Python, okay.
Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler. Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, awesome.
I think in no particular order.
Have you ever worked with any of them yet?
No. I doubt I'll ever work with anybody in Monty Python. George Carlin's been dead for quite some time.
That's true. Out of the alive people.
You know who else, actually, now that I think about it? Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, every time I see them do anything, it's just amazing. Like, they're so clever and... Just the way they think is phenomenal. Like Amy Poehler and Kate McKinnon too. Can do any, like, you can put them in any situation and it'll be a fucking great time. But yeah, the main ones are the George Carlin specifically is probably my biggest influence.
Oh yeah, I remember renting his VHS specials back in the day, George Carlin. Yeah.
Like my mom for Christmas got me for my birthday got me the George Carlin collection. Mm. It's like all his specials a bunch of DVDs, and it is fantastic.
You know the 7 words you can't say on TV?
Uh-huh.
What are they?
They are shit, piss, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fuck.
go.
And did I say cock? Cock.
Is it pussy?
You may have. Great. Yeah, Jesus. I have to go back and listen. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I remember that bit that he did on that.
Shit, piss, cunt, fuck.
Yeah, I think those
shit,
were
piss,
all in
cunt.
There.
Shit, piss, cunt, fuck, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Is that him? Is that what it is? Okay, nice.
Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. That's my new favorite. Cocksucker, motherfucker, like tits.
In
tits,
that combo?
Tits
sounds, tits sounds like a nickname. Hey, tits, meet toots, toots, tits.
If I get really tits, mad. Yeah.
He was great. Just the things that he did with words was just phenomenal.
He was
one
really
of the best
good,
ever.
Kind of observational comedian. Yeah, really, really good. One of my favorites from back in the day. On that note, who is your current favorite comedian?
That is an excellent question. Famous or local?
Let's go local first.
Local would be Sophie Hughes and Dustin Chalifoe.
Okay.
They're just hilariously funny. Like, Sophie's probably the best comic in town.
Really?
If she gets the right opportunity and gets in front of the right people, there's going to be no stopping her.
Mm.
And Dustin Chalifoe is just phenomenal. Like the way his brain works, like I almost wish I could study it just to figure it out, because he's so brilliantly funny that you have to see it for yourself to believe it. As far as famous comedians, Jerry Seinfeld's always been one of my favorites. I think right now, probably John Mulaney is at the top of my list. Him and Nick Kroll do that Oh Hello on Broadway. It's a Netflix special. They play two old men.
Oh, really?
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Where can you see it at?
Netflix.
Netflix?
Yeah, it's called Oh Hello on Broadway. Okay. They play two old men who have like been in the business, and it's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Mm, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, so John Mulaney probably right now is my favorite at the moment.
Yeah, I loved his first special, New in Town.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's another one who I love, like his cadence and the way he says things and the way he uses words is just brilliant.
I liked his Home Alone bit that he does. Yeah. That's a good one. Jeez. So where can people find you? What dates do you have coming up?
The I believe, let me double check this. I believe it's the Wednesday before Valentine's Day. Let me.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Let me see real quick here. Sorry, I don't mean to.
Oh, no problem. This is fascinating for podcast listeners.
Yeah, right?
We listen to this all the time on the big guys.
What's that? Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
Looking for stuff.
When is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you put that in?
Yeah, I'm doing it okay, right now. We're live on Instagram.
You're just putting all those in?
Yeah. You guys were wearing February, glasses a few minutes
February
ago.
13th.
February 13th.
So the day before Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. I will be performing improv at the Balcony.
The Balcony, okay.
Yeah, with, nice. With the, I'm just kind of guesting with okay. Yass and is the comedy group. Okay. They're a new, local upstart improv comedy. So I'll be doing that. And otherwise, I don't, I may have something in Nevada at the end of February. I still have to figure out my schedule and double check those things. But for now, in town, that's the next place you could see me. It's February 13th at the Balcony.
February 13th at the Balcony. Cool. Go see Eric Cole.
Yes.
Now you talked about a comedy group, and I noticed that the Boise Comedy Fans is a group, I think, by Red Mike Comedy. Is that another comedy group in the area?
Yeah. Well, Red Mike Comedy is, I think, a production company. Okay. I think it's run by Casey Hunt primarily, and they put on shows. So it's like Red Mike Comedy presents.
Okay.
Whatever.
Do they book the shows?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, okay. They book the shows and do all that stuff. They've got a lot of good stuff happening. There's also the Blue City Artists. Mm-hmm. That's run by Haley Lenhart Weiss. They do a bunch of stuff at Mad Swede. They have a Comic of the Month show every month where the winner gets a cash prize. The Gem Center for the Performing Arts has a the Lounge at the End of the Universe. That's run by Jen Adams. They have a lot of cool stuff going on over there. They do a pun slam once a month, which I participated in the last one and I won, which is cool. So yeah. I get to go back in, I believe, September as like all the winners of the last year get to participate in the ultimate pun off or whatever. So they do a lot of cool stuff down there. So check that out. Yeah, that's what I can think of right now.
What's your social media if people want to follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at It's Eric Cole, all one word, no apostrophe, and on Instagram at Eric Cole Comedy. And if you want, you can find on Instagram at personal_growth_podcast. It's a podcast that I do with Dwayne Perza.
Oh, you have your own podcast.
We do, yeah. We discuss. Oh, awesome. It's we recorded at the TriPoint Studios. You can find them on Instagram at TriPoint TRIII Point. It's a personal growth podcast, so we just kind of talk about that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a little less on the comedy side. I try to be funny, but I don't like to overdo it.
Yeah.
So you can check that out.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. What platforms are you on?
I'm pretty sure all of them.
Okay.
I think anywhere you can find a podcast, we're available.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
We are working on that. Apparently, for Apple and Spotify, your artwork has to be the exact number of pixels, for height and width, or your stuff doesn't get published on there.
That's dumb.
So I'm having the girl who made our logo fix that for me where the pixels are even. Yeah, they have to be exactly the same, like 1500 by 1500 or 1680 by 1680. It's ridiculous. So
it's insane.
That's why we're just on SoundCloud and CastBox.
What,
right?
What?
Now. And soon to be YouTube. Well, yes. We're on YouTube, but the podcasts are about to be on YouTube. Oh, no.
What?
We may have needed to charge that camera.
Oh, no. Oh,
shit.
Damn.
Dang, I caught it here live on Facebook.
Bush League. Bush League, what's happening right now.
This is only the second one we've recorded.
God damn it.
Sheesh.
I'm a jinx. It's fine.
I'll release what we have, and then I'll put a little something at the end.
Right. Sorry about that.
That's Nathan Scott Ford.
Yep, Nate Ford. Yeah, he was just here on Thursday. Yep. So that one comes out on Monday. And this one will come out 2 weeks from Monday. So okay. We got Nate Ford, then we have a Ramblings episode, then it'll be Eric Cole.
So essentially after my show.
Oh God.
Oh no.
Should we change that?
We can. We were talking about doing
we're
that.
Okay, we're gonna swap them then.
We'll swap
we're gonna
them.
Put this one out before your show and we'll save that
Come
one
to
for
a show.
After. Yes. Awesome. Okay, cool. Anything else that you wanna plug or say or promote?
One of the things I've been doing on the Personal Growth Podcast is if you want to Venmo me money, I will personalize a joke for you, or I will record myself doing something silly within reason.
Like,
Cameo?
Yeah, Cameo.
Is that
Cameo.
What they do?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, maybe I'll look into that. But yeah. My Venmo is it's Eric Cole, all one word, no apostrophe. All the proceeds go to the Eric Cole Preservation Fund, which is a charity I set up to put more money in my pockets. So
awesome. Yeah.
That's funny.
If you want to, I'll personalize a joke for you.
Support your local comedians,
yes,
everyone.
Do it.
Yep.
Yes.
Come out.
I see other comedians doing this too, so this isn't a weird thing, you know.
Nope.
I saw William Montgomery just did this on his first birthday on Instagram. He put his Venmo up there and said,
"Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's like, send me money.
Yeah,
send me this and that.
I'll take it."
Heck yeah. All right. Well, this has been awesome. I'm going to sign out.
I'm signing off.
We got Eric Cole here. Say goodbye.
Yes, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted.
Boom.
Awesome.
Without all the videos.